to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Back at City Tap House on Grant and Danny on the Fan. This is our pregame spot today. So as you get out of the office, as we get closer to puck drop, we have packed the joint. It's been a lot of fun. The Caps camaraderie before these games at City Tap House has been amazing. This is your one-stop shop for all things food, drink, and fellowship before game one, round two. This is the first round two game being played at Capital One Arena since the 18 Cup run. So, should be a very, very fun night.
We ask you, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
If you're watching on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, you're already seeing a very snazzy gentleman. Looks a lot better than we do.
Dapper.
That gentleman has the dulcet pipes as well on the Fan tonight. He is on the call of game one. You know him. It's John Walton from Caps Radio, the voice of the Capitals. John, thank you for joining us out and about here. How are you?
Yeah, this is great, guys. Don't really get out in Chinatown this time of day very much. So this is a nice little treat. If I can walk around, see you guys, and talk hockey, I'm ready. Boy, and how much fun is this? You're right. We haven't done this
since
2019. So, I mean, just the buzz around town, and you're walking around, you're seeing everybody, and you see all the Caps jerseys walking around here. So, thanks for getting me out of the house, essentially, is what I'm saying. It's been great.
You mentioned 2019.
Yes.
That was when Washington played Carolina in round one. They had a 2-0 and 3-2 series lead. They end up losing in seven. It's hard to say that a team is a vaunted rival if you haven't played a lot in the playoffs. But damn if we're not working on it right now. This is the second time these two teams have met. I like to say they're closing in on the Penguins. A lot of bad blood from April. Where is Operation Hate the Canes at this moment?
You know, it's funny because I was just talking about this the other day. I felt like in 2019, like when you went to Raleigh and Canes fans like, oh, it's the Caps. They're our big rival. And we're like, yeah, that's cute. Like we've got the Pens, we got the Flyers, we got the Rangers, even the Bruins. But it's come a long way in large part because of Rod Brind'Amour.
Yep.
And the last 7 years, they've not only gotten in seven straight years, they have won seven straight in the first round. They have had trouble after that. Let's hope that continues. But the identity that they've created, the fact that there's some geography in play here, that it's not that far away, a lot of us are going to be driving down. So I think all of that being said, it is a rivalry, and it is when it's nasty. Think back to the game on April 2nd. We had 120-some penalty minutes in the third period. These teams hate each other. And I think it's not always because of playoffs. Playoffs are going to ramp it up. Like this series is going to really, I think, put the stamp on that. But I also think that when you look at these two teams over the course of the last 7 years, Caps haven't won a lot in their building. They lost the series in 19. They've been good. Caps were down and now are back. So I think it's going to be awesome. I think this series could very well. If you win this series, you are a legitimate, maybe even favorite to win the Stanley Cup. That's how good I think these two teams are.
Well, you mentioned favorites. Grant and I have been putting our heads together trying to figure this out, John. The Washington is the heaviest underdog left in the postseason, not only to get to the Stanley Cup to win it, to win their conference, and to win the series that they happen to be in. Carolina's good. They deserve respect. That is a very good club that is absolutely capable of beating Washington and beating whoever they play in the next round and winning the whole thing. Why is Washington such a heavy underdog here? I don't get that.
I don't like sometimes the analytics, and some people have, they want to be able to put it into a math problem and say, when they say Carolina is 67-33 favored to win this series, that's crazy. These two teams, the Caps beat them twice in the regular season. The Caps had to play them, and this is what a lot of people forget, unless you travel, I guess, or don't travel. When we go to Raleigh, each of the last 2 years, I haven't had a dinner in Raleigh in 3 years because we keep going in back-to-backs where they're rested and the Caps are coming in, no morning skate, got in late. One time came from Boston, other times came from D.C. It hasn't been a total fair playing field. Having said that, they jump on you in their building. It's tough no matter what. They are a very good team.
Yeah, they're good.
I don't understand. This series is not as lopsided as some of the analytics would lead you to believe. This series will go at least six games. The Caps may win and they may not win, but it is going long because the Caps have played better at home than almost any team in the league. They play well at home. The Caps have home ice here. I don't see this being a short series for either team at all.
Voice of the Capitals, John Walton, on the call just after 7 with Puck Drop, about 4 hours from right now. He's got your pregame at the end of the 6 o'clock hour here on The Fan. John, Carolina, I read, has won a playoff series in 7 straight years, which you referenced, but no team's done that. I think it was Montreal, like 80s into the 90s. I mean, it's been forever since a team has even done that. So the consistency is legit. What do they do so well? Why are they the analytics darling? Why does everybody love this team?
They hold on to the puck a lot, and they do that by creating a lot of momentum. They traded for Mikko Rantanen, who is a legit first-line stud in the middle of the season.
We just saw that, didn't we?
And it blew up. Yes, we did. And the reason he's in Dallas is because Mikko was not a fit for them, and they realized after he got there he's not a fit. You have to be a certain kind of player. Hard nose. The best comparison, and it's not a perfect one, but like a John Tortorella coach team where you need guys who are willing to ball out and go and be able to play that hard nosed, forecheck, but more just generating momentum. They're always skating. So they hold on to the puck a lot. If you watch tonight and you say, okay, if you look up at the end of the first period, Carolina's got 6-7 shots, then a lot's going right for the Caps because they're going to generate off the rush, but Spencer Carberry is going to get last change, hold him down. If they've got 15 shots and they're doing that on the road, that's not good because that means the top line is probably getting a lot of chances. Pierre-Luc Dubois' line is going to play against Sebastian Aho's line. That's a very good line. It's like the Caulfield line in the last series. They're going to have to stop that line, and it's going to start with Pierre-Luc Dubois, probably certainly Nick Doubt as well. But that's what they do. They hang on to the puck. They don't let you have it. They fiercely protect it. They try and get it back, and they're always in motion. They're always moving, and it's a winning brand of hockey for them. It's worked, and they have just the right pieces that they bring in from other places a lot of times to make sure that they can play what I guess we'll call Rod Brind'Amour hockey.
Aho averaged 22 minutes, 19 seconds on ice per game in round one. He's the franchise all-time leader in playoff goals, assists, and obviously points. So what else do we need to know about last change here at home in terms of a Carberry plan? He's going to win the Jack Adams Award very likely.
Oh, in a landslide.
Over? Okay, that's good to hear.
Landslide.
I thought he outcoached Martin St. Louis in round
Absolutely,
one.
Absolutely, yes. Especially as that series went on, even when he didn't have last change, still got what he wanted in Montreal.
So what else? So PLD's line, which is heavy and physical on their top line, makes sense. Is the Carlson D pair still the one you want out there going into this game? Like, how do you view the rest of it?
I think first of all, Dubois is going to start a lot of D zone starts because the thought has been really all season, you have him out for defensive purposes, but he's good enough to be able to generate offense and get up ice quickly. The other guy's going to be nicked out. You're going to see those guys for the D zone draws and being able to hold those guys to the outside, especially when the big line's on the ice.
Is that to win the draw or is there more to it?
Well, it's winning the draw, but it's also you want to be able to start from generally behind the net. And it's usually like two quick passes out of the zone. You'll see him stick to the outside, like quick touch, and gone. And if you're able to do that off of the faceoff win, great. If you don't, then everything's on a perimeter. You want to be able to take away shot lanes. You want to be able to clog it up between the dots. And that's what they did brilliantly against Montreal. Even when they had the chances, they really didn't do very much, especially as the series went on. The adjustments were brilliant. Now, when you have the ozone draws, that's when the Ovechkin line comes out. That's when you'll see Strome. That's when and it's fun because I thought Connor McMichael was brilliant in the first round.
Yeah.
That is where the offense was coming from on that line. I mean, people have said, it's like, oh, PLD only didn't have any goals. He only had 2 assists. He's been tasked with so much in the D zone, and he's the biggest reason maybe why the other team's not generating a lot. He's getting pucks to McMichael, and you've seen Connor's work ethic has been off the charts. I think offensively he's been as good as anybody for the Caps in the first round.
You're such a baseball guy. You're a Twins fan, I know.
Yes. Sadly, yes.
The comp for people, because sometimes I think even our listeners, we have a ton of Caps fans, but for the casual out there listening, it's like a catcher in baseball, calling games, learning the pitching staff. The offense, when it comes, and he'll have it. But he has called brilliant games. He's been unbelievable behind the dish, cut down on the running. He's been so important, PLD has, defensively.
So, stylistically, now, John, you've forgotten more about hockey this morning, or your walk over from the arena than I'll know in my entire life.
In your few block walks.
Seriously, just like as you adjusted your tie, you forgot more than I'll know. But for me, this is the style that I fear. the way Carolina plays. Speed is just the word I use, but that it's nice racing. We're not having a speed contest. It just feels like there's never any room. It feels like that there's no time, and everything is urgent. They force you into that mistake that you've seen time and time again for so many victims, and now it just happens to be the Caps are in the way. Stylistically, what's the counter to that? It's easy to say, hey, let's just do this. Well, they're here, and they're a favorite for a reason, talking about Carolina. Stylistically, what do we look for here to say the Capitals are counteracting what they do?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, Danny, is that when you establish forecheck, they play very similar styles. Both these teams are trying to keep you to the outside. They move very quick. They play with pace. So stylistically, it's pretty similar. Well, how do you beat that? Well, the biggest thing that you need to do is if you can make the quick pass out of the zone and try and get something off the rush, that'd be nice. It's not always easy to do. Short of that, dump in and be able to forecheck the puck, to be able to force their D to make mistakes. Their D's all right. Their D's better than Montreal's is, but they are susceptible to being checked off the puck. You want to be able to get pucks dug out and being able to force to the front of the net. First chances aren't going to be Freddie Anderson. Freddie is a goaltender who's hurt a lot. He got hurt in the first round, and this essentially all the last game and most of the second to last game of that series. He's going to play tonight. Make life hard on him. Bump them a little bit, maybe. Let them know you're there. Get to the front of the net. Create chances. The first chances, you're not scoring. Second are the ones you got to get. I like the fact that in the playoffs, we saw this teased a little bit during the course of the regular season, but not much. Chychrun and Carlson together. So being able, once you dig the pucks out, feed them back up top, start from there. And if Chychrun's got a lane, as they're still down below the net, try and get Chychrun a shot lane or two. Because when he gets that thing off, we all know how good that can be. He had a good first round. I think there could be better things for Chychrun even now. If you're able to get a forecheck going, get those shots from him. If they go in, awesome. If they don't, pick up the rebound. Go to the front of the net. And I've seen a lot of guys working really hard on this team. I'm thinking of McMichael. I'm thinking of Duhame. I'm thinking of Doubt, even though he hasn't scored. But he's there, too, to be able to jam those pucks in, get the greasy ones. That's what this time of year is all about. Do that, and they have a real good chance of getting off on the right foot tonight.
John Walton on the call of Caps Hockey after 7 o'clock right here on The Fan, a little under 4 hours from right now. The voice of the Caps kind enough to walk on over in Penn Quarter. And you guys should do the same before you go to the game. This is our pregame spot, so as you get out of the office today, this place is going to be electric before puck drop. We're here until 6:30. John, who's got to be better in series number two than they were in series one? Who do you want to see elevate?
I would say maybe not even an individual, but special teams were a bit of a concern. At 5-on-5, the Capitals owned Montreal and badly outscored them. Where the series remained close was that Montreal scored 5 power play goals. You do that against Carolina over the course of a long series, you're probably not going to win the series. You've got to be able to contain their weapons, which starts with a couple of things, right? Don't take penalties. Now you're going to take some. But when keep the number low and be able to get the penalty kill going. And to that end, the fact that Alexei Protas is back is huge. The fact he was able to get a game in the last series was big. To get his feet wet, start to ramp up toward playoff hockey, he had such an unbelievable year. You're going to see him move around a little bit tonight. Spencer Carberry hinted at this morning. Remember, he's a top six guy. He wasn't playing in the top six in that game 5. He's kind of getting his feet wet, playing with Dowd, playing with Duhame. Tonight, don't be surprised. He's going to move around a little bit. It would not surprise me, especially if offense is a little tough to come by, if it's a nothing-nothing game or you're down a goal. Look for him to elevate in the lineup a little bit. You might see him playing alongside Stroman, Ovechkin. He obviously played there a lot. Beauvillier, I thought, was terrific in the first round. He was in that spot. There's a lot of places. He's a Swiss Army knife. I mean, that's, you know, he can go a lot of different places and help you. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see some movement. I think you're going to see if you're Spencer, how everything plays out tonight, say in the first 10. But don't be surprised if Alexei moves up. He's going to penalty kill. Be better on special teams. Do that. I think they're going to be fine.
How do they respond to this, like, 9-month layoff that they've just had?
It's crazy.
NHL stupid quirk. Like, I said this at the top of the show, John. I feel like this is such an unusual set of circumstances. Carolina closed a week ago, Washington the day after. That's just how the schedule worked. I think whoever handles that best, whatever that means, to come out tonight and try to find their game quickest will have an advantage to start the series. What's the best way to go about it?
Well, you're exactly right. And for a guy like Alex Ovechkin having a week off, that's not bad. Like, be able to rejuice the batteries a little bit. It is. The fact that it's an even playing field, they both sat out, I think that's great probably for both sides. Here's what's crazy about that. And over the course, this is so, end of what, 14 years for me here. There has never been a time, not once, the only time this team ever won in five games ever, there was no hockey left to be played. They beat Vegas in five. Every other series, I've called more game sevens than anybody that's ever had my job before, and that includes Joe B, because in the second round, in the third round, and ones that they don't, it's insane. There was always drama.
Yeah.
My first year here was Boston, game seven, then Rangers, game seven, then the next year was Rangers, game seven. I had three game sevens in the first 2 years, and this was a no-drama event. It was tight. It wasn't always easy. But winning in five, especially when you're up 3-1, this tortured history of what's gone on in the past, it's almost never happened. So in the history of the team, we haven't really experienced this in the early on where you're like, okay, you know what? You're rested. You know what I got to do for a week? I'm watching playoffs. So you're, oh, look, game seven. Boy, that must be hard. Yeah, I'm going to go back to the fridge and grab a snack.
Seems exhausting.
Yeah. So I think for everybody, it was a great mental reset. It's not one that's been afforded this team very much, but it's great. Under Spencer Carberry, I have felt, guys, from the very beginning of his coming here last year, and certainly this year, business. This is business. We go out, we do a job, we work for the guy in the stall next to us, and they just get it done. So they can doubt all they want. The analytics people can doubt all they want. This team thrives on that. They won all those games in October, November because they had, oh, the Caps aren't even a playoff team. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? If Winnipeg lost you tonight, they'd have home ice all the way to the final. This team is very good, and they don't panic, even if bad things happen. And look, every series, something bad happens. They might lose tonight. You might be down 1-0, but this team never panics. And if they're up 1-0, all right, doesn't matter. We don't even think about Raleigh. Win game two. That's it. That's all they've done all year, and they never panic, and they always find a way to do it.
John, last one for me, goaltending matchup. You talked about Frederik Andersen. When he's healthy, he's really good. This season, though, he was not as good against Washington, not surprisingly, one of the best offensive teams in the league, as he was against the rest of the National Hockey League, 8.98 save percentage. And then Logan Thompson, interestingly, because of the injury late, I think, only had one start against Carolina this year. He gave up 3 goals on 12 shots, and then he got hurt. That was the game where he left via injury, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
but that
April
was 2. One of his worst starts to a game in the season during his only real lull. Should I be worried about that, I guess, from a matchup standpoint, or was it just a weird night on a back-to-back?
Weird night.
The goalie matchup.
Yeah, weird night. And with Logan, I mean, he certainly showed in the first round what he's made of. Zero worries there. I think when you look at, you know, why did he only play one game? Like I was saying before, all these back-to-backs. So Charlie was getting what Barry Trotz used to call the junk mail games. Like, not so much, hey, you're playing a good team on a back half of 2-2 with no morning skate, no rest. Hey, Charlie, good luck. You know, those are kind of the things that happen too. So Logan is going to be fine. I loved his rebound and what he was able to do in game four and game five. He's done nothing but win at home. This team was good at home during the regular season. They've been good at home in the playoffs. They've been good if they get down. They've come from behind to win too. They've done exactly in the first round. They did exactly what they did in the regular season when they were at their best. Logan will be at his best. I expect Freddie Anderson's going to be at his best. He's a very good goalie as long as he's healthy. You know, he got hit in the head and he missed a game and a half, and then he got the week off, so that was a benefit. But is he 100%? Well, we'll find out. But I think everything that Logan has been in that series against Montreal, what he was during this team during the regular season, I think he's exactly what this team needs.
Would you do me a personal favor? It's a pain what I'm asking.
Do I get chicken wings out of this?
Well, I think you could treat
you
yourself.
You get it from here, by the way.
That's why I'm asking. I know
they're
where
really
I am.
Good. Yeah. If you do this, I will owe you chicken wings.
Okay.
Could you call a 4-0 Caps win tonight?
4-0. Let me write that down. Yeah.
4-0.
Make sure you get the details.
Couple of empty netters.
Who would you like to score?
Yeah. You know, let's see. Okay. Duhame, maybe a little TBR. Well, just to
doggy
try it.
Duhame.
Here's where I want to start it. Let's not get weird. Let's have the greatest goal scorer ever to live. Score one. I want it off the face-off, right? So now all of a sudden, they're like, what just happened? I'm confused. He's already celebrating.
Yes.
Give me a Wilson goal because that'll piss them off a little bit.
I like that.
You
see what I'm saying? Their fan base won't like that.
Now Carolina's upset. Now,
yeah.
Oh, what am I doing? Like, I'm more concerned about him, which is great because he's handsome.
Crooked number in the first, always nice.
Yeah. Then I want a doubt situation because he's defensive zone doubter, right? And all of a sudden he gets a little reward. It's 3-0. They do a goalie pull, and then you can have your doggy Duhame.
Career high 14 this year.
Yeah.
Fourth line Paulson would like to see that.
And that's what I want. And I want them reeling and asking a lot of questions about themselves. I want introspection.
I think that is a very good way to approach it. And I think that makes for a fun night on the air, too.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 3 or 4 goals. I mean, Kenny and I are just going to yak it up a little bit.
You do some bits. Fun.
Yeah, do some bits.
What'd you do with your week off?
Skits and bits is what we want.
Yeah.
Late in the third period with the Caps up a bunch. What will people here tell them when to tune in and what you got pregame tonight?
We'll be going tonight at 6:45. And on the pregame tonight, I'm going to hear from Spencer Carberry. I'm talking about Pierre-Luc Dubois, talking about Alexei Protas, and talking about Carolina at large. A lot of player stuff that Katie's going to have with us tonight. We had a week to gather materials, so we are loaded. A lot of player talk off the top. A lot of great stuff coming up at intermission, too. Just hearing from players mostly about the opportunity that's here, because I can't believe, guys, it's been 7 years since we had the parade. But you know, when you stop and you think, it's like, it's been 7 years. It's been a while. Just being in the second round feels great. It's not all you want, but just feels like you're back. It feels like we're trying to get back toward – you know, you get out of this round. I mean, you get to the second round, everybody's got a shot because you've already won a playoff series. Yep. You're feeling good about yourself. You win this one, I think this team can go all the way. I really do, because I think Carolina is that good. And everybody that's left, even in the West, the Caps have played well against this year. So get through this. Very, very difficult. Do it. This could be really fun here late May into June.
John Walton with us on site at City Tap House, kind enough to come over to our broadcast. Inspirational to watch you this year operate, not miss a beat.
Yeah, here,
those of you that don't know, fought through a cancer diagnosis.
Thank you.
To see you in the booth game in and game out was just unbelievable.
Yeah, so, got better in the second half. First half was a little rough, but man, listen, these guys have given me life. This team won a lot of games in the first half. Makes it a lot easier to come to the rink. I owe the boys a lot. So absolutely love it. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
We'll be listening tonight, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop right here on the Fan. We'll give you another chance to win Caps tickets coming up in about 30 minutes. These are game two tickets for Thursday night. You're winning tickets throughout the show on Grant and Danny from City Tap House. A little over 20 minutes from now, we'll give away another pair of Caps tickets to Game 4. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. I guess I should say that's Game 2. That is 2 days away, and it'll be right here at Capital One Arena. Game 4, we're actually going to be out and about with listeners like we are today. We're at City Tap House today and Thursday for Games 1 and 2. This will be your pregame spot, so come on out and kick it with us. Want to talk Caps with you guys. By the time we are winding down the 4 o'clock hour, generally it's a sea of red in this restaurant. So fired up to see you guys as you get down to Penn Quarter today. Steve Zabin's going to join the show at 4:30. Longtime DC radio personality, friend of ours, Zabe, now doing radio in Green Bay in the Packers market, was just one of the hosts covering the NFL draft in his home city. And so we want to figure out what that's all about ahead of 2027. And then at 5 o'clock tonight, a little over an hour and a half from right now, Bruce Boudreau, former head coach who coached many a playoff game here in Washington, will stop by to give us some of his keys as the Caps get ready to take on the Canes. Danny, the news broke yesterday that the Ravens cut Justin Tucker, their kicker. We got to discuss it quickly after the news broke, but there was a lot going on in town, so I wanted to circle back to that. They are saying it had nothing to do with anything that happened off the field, that it was an on-field decision. And it's true, he missed 7 field goals last year. It was the worst year of his career, and there were times where he was cuttable. He was bad. But he also put a lot of deposits in the bank.
Yeah, that's a Hall of Famer, dude.
If the Baltimore Banner story doesn't come out about all the massage parlors, if he's not in hot water being investigated by the league, is Justin Tucker still the kicker of the Ravens right now?
I would think so, right?
Even after the terrible year last year?
Even after the bad year.
Because their point is, we just drafted a kicker, guys. We're moving on. We're in good shape. And my point is, yeah, you chose to draft a kicker so that you could cut Justin Tucker because Justin Tucker's in a lot of trouble and you don't want him on your team anymore, because every time a story gets written, it says Justin Tucker, comma, kicker, Baltimore Ravens, comma.
Yeah, another alleged victim has right. come forward. And that's those are the stories. So, yeah, you set the stage for it. So it's not as if you spent a Robert Aguayo pick, or a first-round pick on a Sebastian Janikowski, then, yeah, you'd go, hey, we drafted a new kicker. They spent a late-round flyer. They had extra picks, and they did a smart organizational thing where if they have to cut him because they find something out or the investigation's taking too long whatever the stage was set. This is what good teams, good organizations should do. You should not be caught with your pantaloons down, so to speak. You should be ready for the next phase, ready for the shoe to drop. Be prepared for all the contingencies. And that was one that was staring them right in the face with, you know, I mean, listen, when investigations happen, and I'm not being flippant about this, we're just talking about football for a second. They're not operating on the league year timetable. You know what I mean? It's not as if, okay, free agency's coming up, so we're going to have a chance. We're going to get this all wrapped up by the time the legal tampering period opens. In that case, we'll know by the end of the draft how this goes. Investigations are investigations. This is a pro football body, not an investigative body. They are only so good at it. So you could find out the day before kickoff of your first game, yep, he's been suspended for X amount of time, or he's expelled for the league pending approval from the commissioner. You don't know. So the uncertainty has led to quick decisions. We saw it with Brandon McManus, and now the Ravens doing it with Justin Tucker.
I think they're going to be fine because it did seem like he was declining a year ago. But kicking's also a little bit volatile. There is some relief pitching to kicking. And what I mean is being bad for a year, being in a funk or in a bad stretch, it's like a golfer, right? Yeah. Your swing's out of whack. You can get it lined right back up. Tucker, by the end of the year, as an example, was kicking a lot better than he was at rock bottom last season. I know he's 36 this football season. I guarantee you he's still got two or three pretty good years left in him. I'm going to be fascinated to see what teams do. When you fast forward 2, 4, 6 weeks into the season, and your kicker's missing field goals, and you're doing what Washington was doing last year, where you're bringing in Hammond Eggers for workouts. You know, you're bringing in jobbers so that you can try to find some Zane Gonzalez or whoever who's bounced around to six teams to try to be your kicker for a month because somebody pulled a muscle. And Justin Tucker sitting there waiting for a call. Mike Florio today, Pro Football Talk, wrote a piece saying it's going to be really difficult for a team to sign this guy until the investigation is finished and the league determines if he's suspended or not, which I think is obvious and true. But I would still be willing to bet that somebody signs him because that kicking position, Danny, well, you could say it's easy to discard a kicker like Washington did with Brandon McManus. Mm-hmm. You know, if he was one of your better players at a primary position, maybe you wait and see what the league finds rather than just booting him to the curb. But the flip side of that is it's also one of those spots coaches view it as I cannot lose a game because of a kicker.
Right.
Now, Peyton Manning once referred to one of the great kickers in the league as idiot kicker.
Our idiot kicker.
Mike Vanderjagt.
You got liquored up.
It takes a team that is off to a 2-3 start and a kicker problem. It's a little bit of desperation. And next thing you know, they're picking up the phone and
it's
going.
It's like having a bad bullpen in baseball. It's like, I can't.
We'll deal with the blowback. So I will bet you now. I do think he kicks for another team this NFL season. I don't think he gets a job before the start of the year, though. But I think he gets that call. Do you?
I don't know. I'm going to say no just because of the trend line of the investigation, right? Where it's every day. It's not.
Let's say no verdict. Verdict's the wrong word.
But no definitive result.
Yeah. Nothing comes back from the league. It just kind of continues in perpetuity where he's being investigated in air quotes.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be it's too red hot. It's too radioactive, I think, for teams, given the climate, right, where you know the juice may not be worth the squeeze to them in terms of a PR perspective. But this is somebody talking about declining, whether he is or is not. He was 6 out of 11 from 50-plus, and that's kind of was his calling card for so many years, was he's hitting the 60-yarders. Remember, he had multiple over 60 in a game,
I think.
By the way,
I'll take that from my kicker every single year.
Yeah. The previous years combined, going back to 2018, 56, I think I've got these numbers, right? 56 of 63 from 40-plus. From 30-plus in the 30s, missed one kick over that same span of 6-plus years, meaning as automatic and dependable as you can find.
He's the best
now,
ever.
Now, if the leg accurate or deep shots are he's no longer accurate from there. He's no longer this weapon where if you got past midfield, you could book 3 points and you could be extra aggressive and do things a certain way as the Ravens have been able to. If that's not the case anymore, you know, or you actually think it's the beginning of a decline, that's something else too. But I think with the baggage, with the PR that would come from it, if he was still the exact same dude in everybody's mind that he was, say, at 32 in 2021, where I think he was – what were the overall numbers? He missed two kicks out of 37. People would go, yeah, we'll deal with it. I don't know they're going to deal with it now.
Yeah, he's
on that sliding scale.
Got that to contend with for sure. This idea that the decline's begun, that his best days are behind him. But I think it would take one really impressive workout, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just think people sleep on how unacceptable it is for a GM and a head coach to go into a game feeling like you might lose because of the idiot kicker.
Oh, I get it.
And I'm not even saying that's fair or reasonable.
It's how fan Danny Ruye feels.
Yeah.
I cannot stand it.
I don't think it's as different as you'd think with a head coach sometimes.
Right.
Especially the dinosaur type head coaches in this league. But I think he kicks this season. I'll be curious to see whether or not we find out before the season starts what the league found. My guess is he would have to have a suspension, right? I mean, it just
you
there's
think?
Too many allegations not to have some type of a suspension. They've obviously got to find some type of smoking gun, or maybe they don't, honestly. They're not operating the same way you
do.
No,
they don't have the same standard as law enforcement.
But let's say it's 6-8 games, whatever it is. Then I definitely think on the other side of that, he could get signed. I was trying to find this. Maybe you know. So Washington cut Brandon McManus.
Uh-huh.
He ended up having a really good year for the Packers while the Commanders were going through kickers like, you know, goldfish. One by one, every couple of weeks, they're just popping another one in. Do you think McManus signed with Green Bay before he got cleared, or was that after? I'm trying to remember how that happened.
I believe it was after he was cleared.
So he got cleared,
yeah.
And then immediately the agent starts calling around and the Packers
yeah,
go.
Yeah, and it wasn't too long.
This guy shouldn't be available.
Find me a struggling situation, and he goes to Green Bay, and they make beautiful music. But I'm pretty sure there was a clearance there. And if I'm speaking out of school on that one, I apologize. But I think that's what happened.
I just couldn't find the chronology of it. Blitz is coming up at 4 o'clock. Remember, ahead of the Blitz at 4, we are giving away DC Defenders tickets today. Got a 4-pack for somebody as they get back home in a couple of weekends. On the Blitz, we're covering the Caps, the NFL, and the Nationals live from over at Nats Park. We'll have Toby check in on the show today, which will be cool. But next, it is time for our double play coming up on Grant and Danny. And at the end of next segment, a little under 15 minutes from right now, somebody else listening is going to win 2 tickets to go see the Capitals in Game 2 on Thursday night at Capital One Arena. You're listening to GND Live from City Tap House in Penn Quarter. At the end of this segment and end of the hour, we're giving away 2 tickets to Game 2. Caps-Canes coming up on Thursday night. You better be listening for the cue to call here on The Fan. It is time for our double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now is the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers today. City Tap House, Penn Quarters, where the show is coming your way from here on Grant and Danny. We'll be here until 6:30 and have a little Caps pregame party as you guys get downtown today ahead of puck drop, which is slated for just after 7 o'clock. I know generally the double play is non-sports related.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to make this work because it's the programming that I'm consuming right now. It's content that I'm watching. We didn't really do much pre-show in the way of communicating because I was locked in. And it was one of those where we're on in a couple of minutes and I'm just going to keep pushing through and getting this in as I can. Untold Netflix film series. So this was Manti Te'o, some of the other stories over the years that were the most unbelievable, and then you get all the behind-the-scenes information, documentary style. Netflix today dropped Untold Shooting Guards. This is Gilbert Arenas, Javaris Crittenden, when they're on the Wizards in 2008, bringing guns to the locker room and having some type of fake gangster near shootout where they're both pretending that they're going to kill the other one.
Over some games of Blu-ray.
Just unbelievable that this actually happened. I am, I would say, about 80% done with this hour and 10 or so minute documentary on Netflix. Couple of takeaways,
okay.
I suppose. Number one, we should never forget how unacceptably stupid that locker room was and what a joke at that time that organization was allowing to fester.
Unserious.
I loved Gilbert Arenas. He was one of my favorite athletes in DC sports history. For him to have been the guy running the locker room, though, doesn't work because he is an admitted class clown who just, he was doing foolish, ridiculous, childish, stupid things. And that's the guy everyone's taking their cues from in a locker room where he's the elder statesman who makes all the money and all the kids are coming in thinking this is how it's done. So no wonder they never won anything meaningful based on that culture. That's number one. Number two, Javaris Crittenton, bro.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
A donk he is. I mean, I'm sure by the end of this thing, I will have some empathy. I'm going to find it in my heart because I'm an empathetic guy. I'm an empath, as they say. What a ridiculous person he is. I mean, just, dude, you are a millionaire in the NBA. How about you don't try to act like you are belonging to whatever set you've tattooed on your body? And that's a true story. I'm not making that up.
I know.
He literally got a tattoo, was part of a gang, and he couldn't get to a point where he didn't want to live that way. Despite the millions of dollars and the NBA opportunities, he just went home and said, you know what? This guy just tried to rob from me. I'm going to go get him back. I'm sorry. I'll find some empathy in here somewhere before the end of this hour and 10 minutes. But my God, what a silly goose.
So I'm only 20 minutes in. I got started today. I think it came out today. Maybe today or yesterday. Something.
It dropped today.
It is amazing. Wonderful. I would like to go home and watch it. Quite frankly, I'm ready for it. It is so unbelievably good. I didn't realize why Arenas dropped in the draft. I don't remember that story.
Yeah.
In the first 15 minutes, it gives you kind of the background of how we got here, who was who and why and everything. And Arenas was this ascending player, was the best player on this Arizona team. It wasn't like he was a bench warmer that did well at the draft combine or something. He gave a ridiculous answer and then doubled down on it, and that caused them to drop in the draft into the second round. I'd forgotten about that part of the story. But anyway, it's incredible. It's so well done.
Well, the answer was, so they asked him basically about his future.
Yep.
Like, what do you want to become as an NBA player? And he said, I want to be a pimp.
I want to be a pimp.
And they said, what? That's a really weird thing to say.
He's like, no, I have a choice. I could back down and look weak. Back down and look weak. Say that you're joking.
Again. And that's, by the back down and look weak thing is why they end up bringing locker rooms.
That's how it happens.
Guns into the locker room. It's why Javaris Crittenton ends up killing a person later in the documentary.
Yeah.
I'm not, these are not spoilers. I mean, these are
events. Yeah.
Life stuff that happened. Just so dumb. Are we 7 years old still? We're not.
But
right?
With millions and access to weaponry.
My
goodness. But it's incredible. It is so well done. The documentary is so good. And
you know,
I can't
what
wait to watch more.
Do in the documentary, and I was a little salty about. So they're painting this picture of Arenas as this mercurial, kind of wild card.
Yeah,
right. Which is, I think, fair. And he's painting the picture himself. In fairness, sitting on the couch talking about his younger years. There was no acknowledgement of how he ended up coming to the Wizards in free agency. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, the coin toss, and then he went the opposite way.
Exactly.
Of the coin.
He was a Golden State Warrior who was like a sixth man and then had become like a really important good player for them. And the Wizards were one of a lot of teams that wanted him, but they were one of two teams that was offering him. And I don't remember the specifics, but it was like whatever the max was for a guy with his years that you could give. And it was them and the LA Clippers, I'm pretty sure. And he was from Los Angeles. Like, he is a California kid from LA, and the Clippers and Wizards were both trying to bring him in, and he supposedly wanted to go to the Clippers. So he did this thing where he said, okay, I'm going to flip a coin 10 times. Whichever heads or tails, whichever team gets more of the heads or tails, I'm going to go to that team. That's how he was determining where he's going to spend the next several years of his life and how his career was going to trend. In and of itself, pretty revealing in my opinion.
Sure. A lot of people do pros and cons lists.
Then he flipped the coin and it came back Clippers. And he said, okay, I'll go to the Wizards. Like, you are dealing with a person that is just different than most people at that point, right? Yeah. I love Gil. I'll always love Gil. But my goodness, bro, you're not making it easier on me as I'm watching this documentary. But these behind the scenes.
Whatever this is, bring me more.
Netflix specials on things I care about. I'll watch them on things I don't care about. When you're talking about the 08 Wizards, my squad.
Yeah.
And I'm watching footage from the locker room off cell phones of Etan Thomas and Brendan Haywood and Caron Butler and dudes I haven't thought about in 6 years. This was made for me.
Bring me all of it. Give me the documentary series on the obscure sports thing that I'm not interested in, that I've become interested in.
Obscure Sports Quarterly?
Yeah, give me the 1 hour plus. This is how this thing went. Yeah, give me the Tim Donaghy. Give me the shooting guard situation. I want all that stuff. So good, man.
Danny, why don't you give away a pair of Capitals tickets to game 2 on Thursday night at Capital One Arena, just a few blocks that way.
Caller number 9 at 800-636-1067. He'll win a pair of tickets to round 2, home game number 2 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals. Thursday, May 8th versus Carolina at Capital One Arena. For tickets, more event information, visit thefandc.com. That's caller 9, 800-636-1067.
We do have a chance for you to win DC Defenders tickets when they come back home. We'll do that at the end of our Beltway Blitz. The Blitz comes your way in moments, live from City Tap House. We're going to be talking to Steve Wino, Mike Jones, Toby Altizer on the Caps, the NFL, and the Nats. Grant and Danny from City Tap House in DC at Penn Quarter on the Fan.